Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you here in Darlington this morning. Now, I'd like to talk today about simplicity, I suppose. Not being too complicated, not being too convoluted, not making things more complicated or difficult than they need to be. And to introduce this, I am going to read three verses from Mark chapter 10, which might not seem to be about what I'm going to talk about, but hopefully it will come round and make sense by the end. So this is Mark chapter 10, I'm starting to read in verse 13. Let the children come to me. And they were bringing the children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Now, I've always found this inclusion in Scripture interesting, this little passage. But I'd never, I suppose, thought about it beyond the surface. Children are sweet, nice, and can do lots of nice things. So we should think nicely and try to do nice things like children can sometimes do. And it's true that children are the purest and kindest of people among us. But those of us who have children, or work with children, also know that they can be selfish, petulant, unkind, and violent, sometimes for very little, or in fact, no reason. And if we think that our Bible here in this passage is telling us to be childish, or childlike, doesn't seem to make much sense that those who would have random outbursts of jealousy and anger would inherit the kingdom of God. So what do I think is really meant by this passage from Mark? Why is it included? And what lesson can we take away from these few short verses? And how can that help us to be better followers of Christ? So if we can start by picturing the scene. It's another busy day in the life of Jesus. His reputation has spread. He scarcely has a moment to himself anymore. Everywhere he and his disciples turn, there are people. There are sick people, needy people, accusing people, skeptical people. And on this particular day, there were also many children. It seemed the parents in the crowd had started pushing and shoving their way forward with their children in tow. And they were coming because it was customary in those days for great teachers to lay their hands upon children and pray, to ask a blessing for them. And that's just what these parents were doing, something that was completely normal at the time. But Jesus' disciples didn't want any part of it, did they? The word used, in fact, is rebuked. They rebuked these parents and their disruptive children pushing through. That's in Matthew 19 and verse 13. Now, rebuked is a strong word, and it's correctly used, I believe, in this instance. There was nothing polite about what the disciples did. They didn't pull the parents quietly to the side and whisper in their ear, Jesus is trying to teach now, but there will be time for you to see him at the end, and you're more than welcome to come then. That's not what it says. It says, this word rebuked is so strong, in fact, that in another form it can be translated punished. Jesus, though, was very angry about this. He was very angry about how his disciples had handled it. We read, didn't we? When Jesus saw it, he was indignant with them and said, Let the little children come to me. Now, Jesus got frustrated with his disciples a lot. I'm sure we can think of a few examples. And he was disappointed in their level of understanding several times. But this is the only time in the Bible when it says he was indignant with them. That word that's translated indignant. So there was something about this scene, this little story that's happening here, this little anecdote, that's important. Now, chaotic, it was chaotic, but it made Jesus, it made the Son of God really angry. So evidently the disciples had missed something crucial about the nature of the kingdom of God and what it means to receive it. And it's important enough that it's been written down for us to be able to read it. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, whoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So it seems then that despite the growth in knowledge that they undoubtedly had, despite the understanding that they had been given, and the close proximity that Jesus' disciples were spending to him, they hadn't really moved much past square one in this area of understanding. Jesus was saying to them, in fact, these children are closer to understanding what it means to come to me and to embrace my Father's kingdom than you do. And this is where I think the lesson is. If we want to come to Jesus, if we want to live in a way that means we will be accepted into his kingdom, we must have a childlike faith. We must come with a childlike faith. So what do I think that means? Well, as promised, it's relatively simple. There's three key points to this, or there's three key points to the way that I view it anyway. And I'd like to go over them with you now. Hopefully there's something useful for you. First of all, childlike faith is simple. So I'm going to read from Matthew 22, starting to read in verse 36. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The older we get, the more we tend to complicate things. There are always caveats, aren't there? There are always other hands. There are always considerations to every issue. And sometimes they're important. But things are simpler for children, aren't they? And that's how we need to try to be when it comes to our faith. Childlike faith is sure of a few things, but those few things are all that matters. Jesus loves and died for me. The words of the Bible are true, and God will keep his promises to us if we love him and love our neighbours. Childlike faith is unselfconscious. This is point number two. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24 read, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Just like the first example, in which there's always another hand, there's always a caveat, the older we get, the more we overcomplicate and think things. Similarly, our insecurity grows with age. We can speak, act and move, all while looking around us to see how other people respond to what we do. And often even change our behaviour moving forward based on the reaction that we observe. But children are different, aren't they? Children just do. They aren't so worried about what other people think. They have little regard for such things. And sometimes we would do well to learn from that unself-consciousness, if that's the right way to phrase it, when it comes to faith. To have a childlike faith means that we would simply pray and simply obey and simply trust. We don't need to worry too much about what that looks like to people around us or what that makes them think about us. Now, that's not to say that we should force our belief onto people in the world who just happen to be around us, but how many people in your life outside of the meeting know that you go to church on a Sunday? Because nearly every week there's probably a conversation that you have, similar to the one I have nearly every week on a Monday morning when I'm asked what I did at the weekend. It's a simple thing to mention that on a Sunday morning you went to church, isn't it? It's something that I've realised gets easier the more you do it. But sometimes, depending on who we are speaking to, we might find that we omit it. Why do we omit it? Are we self-conscious about our faith? That we go to church on a Sunday? That we come to the meeting? It's something that I've realised gets easier the more I do it. Something I've tried to work really hard on mentioning. And it really isn't a big deal. People don't seem to overly care or change the way that they act around me or the way that, you know, they don't stop speaking to me. But it's a very good way to start to introduce the idea that you have a faith to others who you're around, and a good way to practice not worrying about mentioning it. Now, the third thing that children often do, that we're all, I'm sure, aware of, is that they get excited. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it all to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Childlike faith isn't mundane. Children are excited to receive whatever it is that's offered to them, and often they'll run to get it. If you have children, you know when they're young, it seems as if they'll run wherever they go. If they're going to get a glass of water, if they're carrying scissors, if they're doing anything, they run. Doesn't matter what they're doing. They're simply just so eager to live, even if you're doing something boring, like going shopping. Jesus said he came to give us abundant life in a kingdom that lasts forever. Eternal life, eternal peace in a city that is the home of God our Creator. The Creator of our whole world and everything in it. Could we ask for anything more than the promise that's been given to us? So my question to you is, do you run to receive that blessing? We read a second ago what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, instructing them to run in a way to receive the prize. Running to receive what Jesus has to offer for us is a demonstration of a childlike faith. Now, I'm not saying that we should run in the meeting. I'm not saying that we should jog to pick up a hymn book and our Bible. But what I am saying is, how do you feel on a Sunday before you leave for the meeting? Are you keen and excited to come and listen to the message about the Word of God? Are you excited to maybe learn something new about it? Are you excited to pick up your Bible and read the thing that you've never noticed before in the daily readings? Now, I know we won't, because of our human condition, feel excited every Sunday, but maybe if we can make an effort to check in with ourselves about how we feel before we leave for the meeting, we can remind ourselves before we go of all that God does for us and of the abundance that's promised to us. All we have to do is try and make an effort to remember how exciting it is, to reframe how we feel. Something might not be going quite right in life, but there is something to gain from listening to God's word happily. And remember how exciting it is. By being deliberate in our excitement, we will prepare ourselves to joyfully listen to those things that can help us move towards God's kingdom. And what it is that we are simply hoping for. What it is that we are trying to be unselfconscious about. What our faith helps us to achieve. And what is it that we're running towards. So, of course, the answer to those questions, what are we being unselfconscious about? What is our faith helping us to achieve? And what are we running towards is that kingdom. God's kingdom. And that's why we're here now, to remember Jesus. To remember his perfect life and his perfect sacrifice. Because, brethren and sisters, even though our aim is to have a childlike faith, sometimes, unfortunately, rather than having a childlike faith, we have a childish faith, don't we? We act childishly. We can all sometimes be a bit mean and spiteful and impulsive, perhaps following the pleasures of our worldly body. And for those shortcomings, we need the sacrifice that Jesus has provided for us. Jesus, who lived perfectly and can wash away our sins and make us clean. It's only by the choice he made to lay down his life for us, his friends, that we can possibly gain entrance into that wonderful kingdom. So let's consider our attitudes now as we look to take bread and wine, praying that we can have a pure and childlike faith, founded in simple but perfect ideas, unselfconscious in the way that we show our faith to the world, and running towards Jesus and his Father's kingdom on earth, excited for what it's going to be like. Luke 12 and verse 32, I'm going to read that just to finish. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.